Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you. Off and rolling on this Monday morning. Well, a brutal weekend, obviously. Two unexpected losses when you consider a little more than halfway through the game. Both games felt, you know, pretty solidly in the hands of our squads, and then they spit them both up. So, look, we'll dissect it all. We'll obviously really start also getting you ready for game two, which is, you know, not too far from now. So we got a lot to do with you and all of it with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The human brain operates on a wattage between 12 and 25 watts.
Well, I don't quite know what
really
that means.
That's a really dim light bulb.
Well, think about
light bulbs. Let's get to the Phillies and the Eagles. Let's not, if you don't mind. This is not a mess around day. All right, so our brains hurt this weekend, and our hearts hurt. Now, look, it's not the end of the world. Let's start with that. I do sense there's been a little bit too much panic on both ends. Okay, I just want to start there. Now, I'm not in a good mood. I don't want anyone to think I am.
That's where you're starting.
Yeah, it is where I'm starting. Look.
Panic mode.
No, I'm saying I'm not starting in panic mode. I am in concern mode. I am not in panic mode. Let's start Eagles. So we'll just kind of go backwards in time. Eagles first Sunday and then Philly Saturday. There's a lot to break down with this game, and there's a lot that went wrong, and there was a ton of mistakes by the Eagles, as there had been the prior 4 weeks. I feel there was a new mistake, and I actually think it strongly contributed to the Eagles losing the game. And I think Sirianni succumbed to pressure from A.J. Brown to pass it more. And I think from a really, really good coach, that was a really, really dumb decision. And I don't want to make it like it's that simple, because it's not that simple, okay? Like, it was pass interference by that defender against Goddard. There were all sorts of pre-snap penalties. You know, the offensive line still isn't humming. Dickerson went out. A.J. slowed down on the deep route. You know, the run defense obviously is struggling, which is odd for a pretty good defense. But, you know, that has been an issue this year. We go round and round all these different, and it's all on the table. And I want to hear from you, 215-592-9494. I know the Russian attack has been, I'll use this word, weak. It has been. It's been weak this year. But there was no reason to continue to abandon the run when up 17-3. And I put this largely on Sirianni for doing that. Now, look, I know a factor was probably that they play another game in a couple days. So you're not trying to drive Saquon into the ground with two heavy workload days in 5 days. But I thought it was a big mistake. And that, to me, stood out big time after what was obviously a very contentious week last week. Now, we'll take your calls on the Eagles and what stood out to you, 215-592-9494. John, your thoughts.
We had penalties, a lack of discipline in general, but more than anything, Saquon had 6 carries. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley had 6 carries. And he was doing all right when he got those carries, and we just abandoned that.
Do you think Sirianni was affected by what?
Absolutely. Seduced by the pass, Andy Reid style, which hit me hard. So, just sitting there waiting, what in the world are we doing? What in the world? Why all the pass? Why all the pass? Why the 3-and-out? Why the 5-and-out? Why the 3-and-out? Why the 4-and-out? Because you're passing and you're playing a team that runs the football. This is the key to winning in the NFL. And I thought that we'd figured this out. You run the football and you stop the run. It really does work. It really does work. And, we've built a roster to be able to do that. That's what we do, I thought. And, the lack of discipline leads to they run the ball 29 times on the ground. That's a great job by Sean Payton and that offense and Bo Nix. That's a great job. What they did, it's like by the book. They beat a team that's so much better than they are. And they did it by playing sound defense. They mixed it up. They came out in the second half and they did that whole dreaded simulated pressure stuff. The stuff where they make it look like everyone's coming and then everyone drops out. We have to figure out a plan for that because that does mess with us. It messes with everyone. It's really tough on an offense. Look around the NFL. Offenses are struggling from time to time, except in that one, holy cow, the one shootout yesterday. Anyway, digressing. We picked on Alex Singleton through the air, and it's like, okay, now this is the plan all day. We're going to throw the ball because Alex Singleton is susceptible to the pass. Well, there's a lot more that goes on to win a football game. Yeah.
I think they threw the ball a ton because AJ complained.
I absolutely think so. But there's a lot more than that.
I absolutely think that
it's more than that. I think that Devontae was unhappy also. Devontae got a lot of passes yesterday, and it didn't help our offense. It didn't matter. That's not the way you win. You don't win by going 2 of 11 on third down. And you go 2 of 11 on third down by being too predictable with the pass.
Yeah.
Run the football. Get in good shape in early downs to set yourself up for manageable third downs so you're not 2 of 11.
Yep. Look, I'm with
you,
John.
That's the key. That's it. That's it. So we can just go back to being us in three days.
A couple days, yeah. All right, so look, your thoughts on the Eagles and what stood out to you, 215-592-9494. Do you buy or not buy my theory that if AJ hadn't tweeted what he tweeted, there's a pretty damn good chance Eagles would have won the game because they would not have changed their very consistent strategy of running it a ton. A ton meaning basically 50% of the time, even more oftentimes.
54%.
Yeah.
We were 54%. Yeah. That led the NFL.
Yeah.
Yesterday, again, I'll repeat, Saquon had 6 carries.
I'm with you 1,000,000%. James, number one thing that stood out to you?
I thought Nick Sirianni had a disastrous day yesterday. To the running thing is part of it, but that's not close to the full thing. I mean, the fact that we're in week 5 and this team is still so undisciplined. Jalen Carter has played 3 games at Lincoln Financial Field, 3 taunting penalties. Every single game he plays at home, he gets a freaking taunting penalty. The undisciplined nature, the penalties, a formation penalty that negates a huge completion, like over and over and over again. And on top of that, the A.J. Brown quitting on the route thing, all of this stuff, to your point, Nick caving. Nick's whole thing is getting guys to love each other and fight for each other and play as a team. And you know what? I'm sorry. I know there's relationship stuff. You got to figure this out, dude. You got to figure this AJ Jalen thing out. You got to figure this whole team thing out. Nick Sirianni, to me, had a really bad day yesterday.
I agree. All right, my overall recommendation to you, take it if you want. It's your choice. Regarding the Eagles, have concern. Don't freak out.
And I agree with that.
For sure, my recommendation to you.
Definitely.
I'm not taking that recommendation, just in case you were wondering.
I understand. All right, let's get to the Phillies. So, a couple individuals in particular came under the microscope both during and after this game. Obviously, the names were Robertson and Strom and Rob Thompson, and then sort of collectively the hitters. So, John, what hit you the most on the Phillies? It was an incredibly disappointing loss. It was, in my opinion, a far more important loss than the Eagles won, because obviously they're now two losses away from having their season be over. John, what hit you the most from Saturday?
I really felt like the Harrison Bader absence hurt this team. Hurt. And I know that I've been, you know, the Harrison Bader cheerleader, maybe a little bit over the top, but I really do believe he's got that mojo. And when we needed it, he was not available. And instead, we got Nick Castellanos in there. I mean, like, come on, swinging first pitch, weak sauce. I can't stand it. But
by the way, you're going to see a lot of Castie tonight, man.
I understand.
A lot.
And you know, we'll find out more later when we talk injuries, Harrison Bader, whether he's going to be available. But I do think that'll make a difference. I know that this does not cost them the series. This does.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not cost them the series, but it really does hurt.
Yes, it does.
Their chances to win this series. I did not expect that. And it was a real letdown by the bullpen that crushes everything. But it's not over.
No, it's not over. Let's talk about the bullpen. Let's talk about that whole sequence. So there are a lot of people crashing down on Rob Thompson. I actually put it a lot more on the relievers. I really do, guys. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with me on that, and that's fine. And I'll field your calls either way at 215-592-9494. I really think Robertson and Strom blew the game. And, you know, I know what Rob Thompson was trying to do. Now, you can make the case he should not have tried to do this, but I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to get through this game using only four pitchers. Sanchez, Robertson, Strom, and Duran. That's what he was definitely trying to do. Now, you can make a hell of a case that if Ranger's totally healthy, he should have been ready to go and in that game, since he's not pitching game two and would not pitch till Wednesday, and you use Ranger for an inning
or
two.
Why was he out there if you weren't going to use him?
So, I don't know if it was a decoy. I found it bizarre, Rhea. Found it very bizarre. We don't know if he's truly healthy, and we don't know if that's not a factor in him getting pushed back to game three. I know this. If Ranger was healthy, I would have liked him to be much more in the mix. And Rob Thompson said after the game that he wasn't even considering Ranger in that portion of the game. But, I mean, I got to tell you guys, we've spent a lot of time last week talking about you don't trust Kirk Green, you don't trust that guy, you don't trust that guy, you don't trust that guy. And, I mean, I really had the bullpen at three, I'll call it three and a half that I trust. You know, Duran obviously won, Stroman, Robertson, and then to whatever extent you want to rely on Tanner Banks, who did pitch very well this year, but has never been a guy that's like, this is a stalwart for October baseball. James, your thoughts on the Phils and what went down?
Well, ironically, after my Nick Sirianni comments, I'm fully against you. I think that was Rob Thomson's worst game as manager of the Phillies. I really do.
Was it bringing Thomson back out?
Robertson back out. Yeah. I've said this so many times this year. Jack and I have been talking about our pod for years. Like, you bring a guy in, especially a 40-year-old, no less, but a guy into a super, sorry, Joe, high leverage, big spot, whatever you want to say. And he comes in and gets a job done. Like, he got the job done. He got out of that inning. And then he goes and sits on the bench. And then you bring him back out. Like, it's hard for those guys. And it'd be one thing if they were playing the next day, if they had a tired bullpen. You've got your entire team, the whole team waiting there. You have two off days over the next three days.
Like, who do you go to there?
I would have let Strom start the inning. I wouldn't have played the whole lefty-righty thing. All that. Strom's gotten righties out.
And then what's your strategy for the eighth? Because that factors in.
Yeah, of course.
I'm serious, in that moment.
I think it could be Duran, depending on the situation. I have Duran as a potential if it's a one-run game.
Yep.
I do trust Banks against lefties in big spots. I like Kirkring for a batter or two if I needed it. He looked great when he pitched. But Duran if I have to. But my point is I have to get these outs when I need those outs. You have to get through that inning. You have to get through those spots. And I just thought bringing Robertson back out, honestly, in one decision, I think it might be one of his worst decisions he's ever made as manager.
So if you don't know it, I think many people do know, it was the first time this year. Now, Robertson only pitched for 2 months, but it was the first time in those 2 months that he was used to complete an inning and then be used to start the next inning. So that element is odd, but we also know a lot of times managers save those kind of moments for the playoffs. I mean, for instance, not like Duran has been doing 4 and 5 and 6 out saves with frequency, and we all know that could be leaned on come October.
Well, it's not in a vacuum either. He's a veteran.
I'm with you, John.
Rob Thomson can ask him, hey, how do you feel?
I agree.
Be honest with me. Based on all of your experience, can you do this?
Yeah.
And of course, I would trust him.
I agree.
I will say this.
Really? I did notice Robertson warming up. I was at the game. When I say, warming up right before he got out of that sixth inning, when he replaced Sanchez, I thought he looked really funky in his warm-ups. I'm just being honest. He bounced the ball up there, and I thought, something doesn't look right. And, of course, this was, like, countered with, you know, Sanchez and freaking Ohtani. By the way, Ohtani was unbelievable. I give a lot more grace to the hitters than I ordinarily would. I thought he was borderline unhittable for 4 or 5 of those innings. I was glad they got 3 runs off him. I was right there at a good vantage point. I have rarely in my life seen a pitcher with stuff that nasty. I mean, I couldn't quite see based on my angle the side-to-side movement, but my God, could I see the speed.
Just the speed.
Well, it was unbelievable. His delivery is exactly the same, whether he's throwing 100 miles an hour or whether he's throwing that hook that he throws at like 80 or 70, whatever. It's crazy to watch him wind and the ball come out at completely different speeds and it looks exactly the same.
Yeah. Now, you want to get to their bullpen, but, you know, they didn't. And obviously not having Bader in that one spot hurt, and then you're down to Sosa. And Phil's got to, you know, they got to brush it off fast. They got to get back at it tonight. All right. Your thoughts on what went down. What stood out to you? 215-592-9494. Both games felt, to a strong extent,
similar.
In hand. Yeah, very similar. Eagles felt to me more in hand, but they were structurally very similar. And obviously our team spit them both up. Let's go to the phones. Derek and Paoli kicking us off. Derek, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. Yo, real quick, could I wish my mom and her twin sister a happy 70th birthday
you
today?
You sure
man?
Can.
That's a positive, you know what I mean?
That's wonderful. Happy birthday, ladies.
Yeah, 70 years old, twin sisters, man. But anyway,
that's great.
Listen, the thing with the Eagles, I'm kind of in the Rhea boat. I'm not like whatever, but I'm just thinking like they got you see that one play with Jordan Mailata and Cam Jurgens? It was some kind of miscommunication there. Then Mailata was talking to him about what he did. And there's a lot of stuff, if you watch that game closely, that the Eagles, they're not in sync, man. And to give Saquon one carry in the second half, that's like, so now what's Saquon supposed to do? Come out and say, we're not running the ball enough? You understand what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I do.
I just felt like they had more of control of the team than what they showed yesterday. And then, like, the AJ and Jalen thing, I'm not going to, like, pound on AJ because I don't know what role that Jalen plays in their relationship, however it went away. But the way he answered that question, he's like, he just, like, real, like, nonchalant. If you watch the film, you could clearly see that if he didn't slow down, he would have had a shot at catching that ball.
I agree with that, no doubt.
I don't know. I don't know. They look like – they kind of look like – I'm hoping I'm wrong because I really love this team, and when they lose and when they don't play well, it, like, keeps me up at night sometimes. But it's like that wasn't a good showing for
– No. There wasn't.
The whole Eagles, the offensive line, the defense played – I think the defense played good, but they spent way too much time on the field in the second half. Like, it's like John said, three and out.
You don't stop the run.
You're going to move the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you don't stop the run, that is what happens. And by the way, there were some bright spots. You know, Azeez Ojulari – I had to look it up initially. I you know, like, I had forgotten
what number he was,
that we still had a 13.
Dude,
yeah.
First off, I'm still confused with all the numbers, like a lot of them. But that one in particular, that was in the very beginning of the game.
I had to look it up.
And I was like, who the heck is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But because he has, where has he been?
I know.
I mean, that is an issue too. Like, wait a second, this guy's out here, he is making plays. Yeah. Where's he been for the first four?
Well, Nolan Smith was playing.
Yeah, he's only playing because of the injuries.
Yeah.
Well, Nolan Smith's been out for
No. I think he got hurt last week, right?
No, two weeks ago.
Was it? Yeah. So one thing, you know, on the negative side of the ledger for the first 5 weeks of the season, the Eagles are not getting a ton of pass rush. I know on that play they did. You know, that play we're talking about from the first quarter.
Yeah,
but
we're
man,
not getting enough.
They are not getting much.
No.
It's not.
Well, we all talk about the lack of discipline. You know, Jalen Carter, once again, another personal foul. Jalen Carter is a huge part of the way that he plays is a huge part of the success of everyone else around him, because we're depending upon him getting those doubles. Yeah. And there have been times where he has not been doubled, where you'd expect him to win, and it hasn't always happened.
Look, I think the four stars from last year defensively, three I think have been outstanding this year. Bond, Quinion, and Cooper I think have been outstanding. Jalen Carter has not. Like, that's my boom. Easy summation. I don't know the whys.
That's absolutely
factual, right? Yeah. Yeah. All right, 2-1.
But the hit by Bond yesterday was dumb.
It was, but I actually give him more leeway than I heard many give him.
It's so look, really hard to pull.
Totally.
Off.
That guy
took a leap at the end. He didn't want to go down.
It took like two or
three
leaps.
That's what I'm saying. I thought it was like, I get it.
It's a penalty,
but like, I'm not going to kill him too much for it.
Totally agree,
James. I feel the same way,
dude. That guy kept lunging.
It's a penalty. He deserved the flag. I'm not ripping the refs.
Same page.
But, yep.
Yeah. Same page, man. Yeah. All right, brutal weekend, obviously. Let me tell you, this segment right now is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. This segment, you're going to hear from both head coaches from over the weekend, Nick Sirianni and Rob Thompson, and some of the notable things they said after the games. Let's get to Paul in Downingtown right now. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Morning show. So, disappointing weekend for sure. And, say what you will. I'm not going to argue with anything anyone wants to say about coaching, play calling, or anything like that. But my primary concern is, where's the quarterback from the Super Bowl? Where's that guy? I need Jalen Hurts to step up and play 60 minutes of football the way he did in the Super Bowl, because regardless of everything else or anything else, the guy that played in the Super Bowl, if that guy shows up and has those 38 passing opportunities, that guy gets a hell of a lot more than 17 points and 280 yards. So regardless of the whining, regardless of the play calling, regardless of the injuries along the offensive line, I need that guy to step up and play 60 minutes of football.
So, Paul, let me just address that. I kind of split the difference on this one. I think, look, you know, I didn't think he was going to be playing like the Super Bowl with tremendous frequency, because he didn't play like it last year with tremendous frequency. Now, I thought he did some good things yesterday. And generally, I thought he passed well. The biggest negative I noticed yesterday, which reminded me of some of his younger years, was leaving the pocket unnecessarily at times. And I don't know.
The pocket presence or something felt and the like O-line's
been bad.
Bit.
It has. And it's getting in his mind.
Guys.
It's getting in his mind.
It's been bad.
Well,
that's absolutely what it is.
Yeah, it's getting in his mind.
He's got a rotating, a shift through of guys in front of him that he just doesn't know how to depend on them or whether there's going to be a crease because of them. And so he's getting a little bit antsy.
And I don't want to get too mired in hurts, but that last drive kind of was the epitome of what I was saying. The unnecessary sack, the check down, over the middle to the running back.
You know what, though, my man? Listen, Paul, the first two plays stunk. Hold on. The first two plays stunk, but he got that ball down to the 3-yard line, essentially.
Yeah, he did.
And I thought that was pretty freaking impressive.
I thought it should have ended with a tush push for a touchdown.
Well, and the ball was in Devontae's hands. I know it's tough, but at the end of the game, they had a chance to win at the end. That ball was right there, that Hail Mary. Hail Mary.
It was a great Hail Mary throw, but I'm saying that we didn't talk about the Dallas Goedert interference call.
Well, let's get to the refs. So, Paul, give me quickly your Phillies point. Then I'll play this
really
Sirianni audio.
I mean, Rob Thompson sending Robertson out there for the seventh was ridiculous. But that being said, he struck the first batter out, and home plate umpire Nestor Cejas, gave the Dodgers the extra fourth out that brought that guy to the plate in the seventh that hit the home run, Hernandez. And, additionally, with the Phillies, two more quick points. Anytime you have Ohtani at the plate who looks more dangerous to himself with the bat, who looks like the uncoordinated kid, at the pinata party, you have to win that game. And I thought all along the Phillies would steal one from the Dodgers because, the Dodgers roster, 1-25, whatever you want to say. I still think the Phillies might win this series. I still think that they will. But having the Dodgers steal one from us really hurt. And the last thing I want to say about the fans, a little fan-on-fan crime, there used to be a time when the closer came out for the other team where we weren't sitting on our hands, where we were doing everything I could with our vocal cords, with our energy, to give that guy the yips, to make it to where he was so inside his own head that he couldn't throw a strike. And to have that guy come out and have no noise in the bottom of the ninth was really, really disappointing.
Okay, Paul, I didn't notice that.
I actually, for what it's worth, especially after being in that building for the end of the Diamondback series, for the Met series last year, I thought the crowd was great.
I thought it was pretty solid.
I thought when they went down two runs, after the Teoscar homer, that crowd stayed in it. They tried to lift them up. They did not get as tight. I expected it to be tighter in that building when they went down than it was. I thought the crowd did the best they could.
I agree with you, James. I agree with that assessment. Let's get to the guided door and window to the weekend. You can buy and by the way, the Ohtani chants were tremendous. I don't know that it rattled him, but the chants were very consistent. And I thought that was pretty cool. All right, got a door and window to the weekend. Buy a window or door and get the second and half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Got a Door and Window at 1-877-GO-GOT or visit goguida.com. Well, look, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. Window to the weekend is what we're talking about, the Phillies and the Eagles. But I want to play some audio for you from both managers or coaches, whatever the heck they're called, to give you some additional context for the weekend. Two other quick weekend points I'll say. The Mark Sanchez situation, a disaster.
Wow.
Okay, that's not good. I mean, my guess is he'll probably lose his job at Fox, but let's find out. Let's follow the bouncing ball. Not good. And the second is Penn State. Not good also. So, both situations.
Temple won.
Congratulations, Rhea. Congratulations, Seltzer.
I can't remember the stack, but let's put it this way. It's very rare that Temple wins on a day Penn State loses. Doesn't happen very often. Yep.
I would think. All right, let's get to Nick Sirianni. The referees have obviously come up a few times already in our show. Here's what Sirianni said after the game.
I've been around this long enough where, calls, they balance each other out. I know sometimes there's always going to be we get screwed in this one. I don't think that way. They all balance each other out. You're going to get some that you think you should get. You're going to get some that you're going to get that's going to go against you sometimes as well. Those guys do the best they can do and take a lot of pride in that. I got a lot of respect for the referees, and we'll never put anything on that. Again, those things happen in split-second situations, and then the review, same thing.
It's a fine answer by a coach, A, not looking to get fined, and B, not looking to put into his team, A, we lost because of the ref's mentality.
But
the Goddard thing was egregious.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, he was flat out.
He could not come back to the ball.
No.
He was unable, he was blocked from coming back to the football.
He was.
And it's plain as day. The only reason they didn't call it is because it was so late in the game, and they felt as though it's a pivotal moment. Yes, that's why you must make the proper call, the correct call. It is a pivotal moment. It decides the game. What should have happened is that flag comes out, and the ball is half the distance to the goal line. The ball is on the one.
No, not half the distance. The ball will be on like the three. It's a spot foul, personal foul. I mean, not personal, pass interference. Ball will be on the three.
Okay.
It'd be first and goal from the three.
Push it in. We got one play.
Well, probably not play from the three.
We're going to run an RPO. We will score. We will run an RPO that gives us the option to win.
Eagles would have had a great chance to win the game. That ref flat out blew that moment. There's no question. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson on David Robertson. So I think people are pretty familiar with it. Robertson finishes the sixth, is brought back out for the seventh. Struggled big time. I actually put the game the most on Robertson. That's my opinion. Now, a lot of people go to Topper. I go to Robertson more. I'm a big fan of the guy. I trust him. I thought he really let him down. Here's something Rob Thompson said after the game.
What went into the decision to bring Robertson back out after getting the one out to finish the sixth, I believe it was?
Well, I wanted to make sure we had a lefty on Ohtani. So if you bring another righty in, he's got to face Ohtani. So that's really what it came down to. Robbie didn't throw that many pitches. I mean, he was good to go.
All right, so what he's talking about there is the three-batter minimum rule, relief pitchers, you know, entering a game. And so he doesn't want to be in a spot there to get with his, you know, caught with his pants down, so to speak. But, I stand by using Robertson there. I know a lot of people don't. Again, I want it, the Phillies to navigate. If Ranger's healthy, I want him in the game. If Ranger's not healthy, then I understand. If you don't know, he got hit by the line drive near the very end of the season. I wonder if that's why he's pitching game three instead of game two. I really, really, by the way, really, 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 really wish Ranger was pitching tonight. He's not. I know some say, well, use Lizardo at home. He's better at home, blah, blah, blah. And there's an argument for that. But I look at it this way, man. One pitcher gets the pitch twice as a starter in the series. One gets the pitch once. I'm not saying there's a massive difference between Lizardo and Ranger. There's not a massive difference. But I trust Ranger more. I wish he was going tonight. I wish they had him lined up for game five, particularly since they didn't use him in game one. So a couple different things there. And let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, kind of like what we were just talking about there, Robertson and Ranger and all that stuff. Armin, they got the new 2025 Chevy Trax. It's in stock now at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who do you blame the most for the Phillies game one loss? Four choices. Robertson, Strom, Rob Thompson, Phillies.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hitters. I go Robertson. John, you go? Robertson, Strom, Rob Thompson, Phillies hitters.
I'm going to blame Rob Thompson the most.
James, same reason? Same concept that he was saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess Rob shouldn't have trusted the player the way that he did.
But remember, that's part
of what he does well.
No one won a career record in this game before the game. Now, I know he pitched a nice eighth inning, but if you said to me, should the objective be to get through this game, Sanchez, Robertson, or Strom, Duran, yes. I mean, when I say Robertson or Strom, Robertson and Strom,
Yeah. You
know, in whatever sequence you have to use them. And Duran, like, they're the only four guys I really... Rhea, who do you blame the most?
Rob Thompson.
You with James? Just the usage right there?
Don't tell me you're managing for the next game when you had that game to win against Otani. That's huge right
These
there.
These games are
you
different.
Your whole bullpen.
Yeah. You had
an off day. And another off day after tonight. Like, you could have used anybody.
All hands on deck everything, right? That's what I thought.
Let's listen to his answer about
postseason.
His answer about Ranger. I wish we knew more. I wish we knew more about what's going on. Let's listen to something Rob Thompson said. This was Saturday, because we also have audio today of things he said yesterday. We'll get to that through the show. But Rob Thompson, Saturday after the game on the Ranger thing.
Was there any contemplation to going Ranger, either in the sixth or the seventh?
No.
It's like an A.J. Brown answer.
Well,
there.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of last year in game four when he wasn't going to use a starter unless it was like deep into extra innings.
Yeah, Sanchez thing. Remember, we wanted to use Sanchez in that spot.
And so again, I just wish we knew if Ranger was considered healthy on Saturday or not. We just don't know. He got hit with that line drive. That may be why. I mean, you know, that may be why he's not starting tonight. So, but again, it's not like classic relievers. He had a ton of guys to trust. James, I think you trust Banks a little more than me.
I do. I would have started the inning with Strom. Like I said, Strom's gotten righties out. Like, they've always gone to him for righties. He started for them when he first got here. Like, and he's been so good lately. And man, now the other concerning thing with Strom, though, you know, post, like we've heard since, is the tipping pitches thing.
Yes.
As for if people haven't seen it, Andy Paz on second base is signaling, you can see him signaling the direction that the pitch is going to go. And this is something that the Dodgers did to the Reds against Hunter Green, tipping pitches, that whole thing came out. And that's something this Phillies team, like, that is an avoidable mistake. Like, fix it. Watch every video you got to watch, whatever the hell's going on, like, right now. Like, that is, like, it paramount with the whole staff. Go through the whole, because guess what? The Dodgers are freaking good at this. The Dodgers are good at looking at this guy and being like, see what he's doing with his glove right there? It's going to be outside. Like, that they're doing the work. Block it. Like, do something to prevent that.
He did throw
that's
meatball,
that's unacceptable, though. Unacceptable.
Yeah, no, when it's your 163rd game, it shouldn't happen. Totally with you. 215-592-9494. The other poll question, I started the show with the Eagles with this point, and I'm curious if you agree or disagree. I know John agrees. Second poll question. Do you think A.J. Brown's tweet affected the Eagles' strategy of passing the ball more than usual? Rhea, gut feeling here, yes or no? Did the tweet affect the game plan?
You know, as Adam Schefter once said, you know, game was lost or won in March. This game was lost last Sunday night when he set out that tweet. I mean, it's 100. How you call that second half is outrageous with a 17-3 lead. Outrageous.
It's something I don't expect from Sirianni to adjust, because he really, to me, doesn't seem like the adjust. To do something he thinks they shouldn't do does not seem to be in his wheelhouse, unless he thought the situation was so dire that he's going to, like, lose the player, you know, emotionally if AJ's just going to continue to just,
look like he did he didn't run on that hard on that one route.
No, he did not. John, what's the theory? What's your theory on that? I mean, my guess is he just doesn't expect the ball to be coming his way, but why would the player slow down, you know, 35, 40 yards down the field for about a second
Lost the ball, thought it wasn't coming to him.
That's what
lost
I think.
Lost the ball, thought it wasn't in the air coming his way. Lost the ball, thought at that timing it had to have gone somewhere else. And so just, you know, almost against his own will, he stutter-stepped, hesitated, thinking, oh, it's not, darn it, you know, not coming my way. It is a mistake. It is on him. Yeah. And I do think he could have had a chance to catch the ball.
I agree.
I've heard people say, it doesn't matter. He overthrew him anyway. I don't know that.
I agree with you.
If he's running stride for stride. Remember, Jalen's trying to they practiced this, I don't know how many times. They're throwing to a spot.
Yeah.
They've practiced throwing to that spot. That's where Jalen threw it. If he's not running full speed, it's going to be off by a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm with you, dude. Let's get to Anthony, New Jersey. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, man. Hey, Joe.
Yes, sir.
When Sirianni get on his radio, please ask him that question.
I will.
Please ask him. Ask him all the tough questions, Joe. Please, I'm begging you.
I will.
Because at this point, I am tired of A.J. Brown, man. I'm tired of him. Like, this is a cancer in the locker room, man, and he's killing everything, man.
Well, I'll say this, Anthony. I'm very frustrated with him also, but it is easier, big picture, to win with him than win without him. And this is not, in my opinion, time to ship him out time.
And they have won big picture they with have. Him, you know?
They have. So I agree with your frustration, but I'm not at that point. I hear some people saying, Anthony, like, let's get rid of him. I would encourage everyone there, let's settle down a little bit. Let's settle down a little bit. Sometimes we got to deal with stuff we don't love. Sometimes the coach has to deal with stuff he doesn't love. Sometimes the quarterback has to deal with stuff he doesn't love. But you don't just run the player off the team.
You don't run him off the team, but at this point, Joe, we're not going to have a team.
Nah, it's not. Like, it's like, not. Listen, give Sirianni and the guys in that locker room a little bit more credit that they can hold this thing together. They're 4-1. They went through a brutal stretch in September from a scheduling standpoint. You know, they've won 4 of the first 5 games. They're tied for the best record in the NFL. Like, the sky is not falling.
Are you sure?
Let me look outside.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that.
I think we're pretty good.
Well, it's just, Joe, you're the one who'd point out CeeDee Lamb catches those balls.
Yeah, no,
the Rams game was, you know, the Tampa game, they have gone. They have not strung together a complete game.
No question.
And I mean, they hadn't last year at this point either, for what it's worth.
It's okay. You know,
they actually
was the Browns game when we all wanted to fire Sirianni, and that was after a bye. It's actually a week further into the year, so to speak.
Yep.
It's still okay.
Hey, not going back to the 2023 season, but this feels just like it. It feels just like it. We 4-1. We streaming along wins by the shin and our chinny hairs. And AJ's in the locker room. Oh, I want the ball, but we went in. The next week, Nick Sirianni changed the whole game plan. The whole game plan. There's no reason why we're up 17-3. Yeah. And Saquon Barkley gets 6.
Well, Anthony, that's what makes it more egregious, because they had that 17-3 lead. I'd have to look it up, but probably for a good 20 minutes. Like, it wasn't like they were up 17-3 for 3 minutes.
It was 13 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah, they scored right away. Scored right away to start the second half.
By the way, Saquon said that Jalen drew up that play.
The wheel route play. The wheel route, which was a beautiful play.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.